Welcome to Freeform Radio on the Freeform Network. You can follow us on Facebook at Freeform Network or Twitter at FFR Podcast. And remember to send your questions and suggestions to ffnquestions@gmail.com. Also remember our friends Intellectual Nonsense and at Enthusiast Project. Together we form 1893 Coalition. Again, this is Freeform Radio. I'm one of your many hosts. This is Noel. And to my right I have...
Hey, it's Andy, guys.
And it's Daniel right over here.
And we're happy to welcome you all to our podcast for today. And we're going to go ahead and update you on what's been going on with our lives.
Yeah. So, Andy, you made mention that you've been running, trying to get back into the thick of it, you know, getting that New Year's resolution off to a flying start.
So, yeah, I used to be, not that I liked it, but when I dropped a lot of weight, one of the biggest things that helped me was running, cardio. And I used to do it like 5 days a week, 6 days a week. And it kind of fell off the last couple of years, but I still try to go a couple of times a week. And this week I went back. It was nice weather. And I went to this trail. I did it yesterday. And it was an 8 mile trail. And normally I could run maybe about 5.5 miles in an hour, but this one, because it was outside, I took it kind of easy. It took me, just a little bit under maybe 2 hours to finish it. And then it's over in Elk Grove Village. It's called Bussy Woods over there.
Sure.
Man, I didn't know they had a lot of like man-made lakes over there and like dams. Like we find, because when I went there last year, all that was like under construction. It was blocked off. And this year, they finally opened it all up, and we did the whole thing yesterday, and it was nice. It was just, I didn't know it was going to be that big.
Oh, cool. Did you go by yourself, or who else?
I went with somebody else, but we're just trying to kick the healthy stuff, or trying to be more active, I guess, because, you know, I mean, I like it. Last year, I got running into, instead of the gym, I got more into going outside. And I thought I wouldn't like it, but it was actually nicer because I did the one over there now, North Lake, the trail behind there.
Sure.
And that one wasn't too bad either. I would start from my house and just run that whole thing and all the way almost to North Avenue and then just turn around. And I remember I did the story there. I thought I saw a bum in the bushes or something.
Yeah, with the menudo can.
A menudo can, which I was tempted to steal. But other than I might go out. Not, today's kind of shitty, so I can't do it today, but... I was thinking about doing more of that on the outside.
Oh, cool. Now, this Bussy one, where what roads are that by? Or was that by Golf Road?
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. I know how to get there. It's Elk Grove Village. Was it Higgins? Like Higgins or something like that?
Yeah, I think I know the one you're talking about. It's got a bike trail. It's got a launch for boats and stuff like that.
It's bicycling, hiking, and yeah. When you go through the trail, you can see like actual like hike trails that they lead into the forest preserve.
Yeah, yeah, and I did that one too, yeah. But I did mine on the bike, and me and Alana did that.
Did you do the whole thing?
Yeah, we did the whole thing.
You did the whole thing. I knew you did it. I didn't know if you were able to complete it though.
Yeah, towards the end, a little bit past the half point, we did contemplate maybe giving up. But by then, you're halfway through it, so...
You're committed,
so you might as well do the other half, because either way, you got to do a half back. So once you're halfway there, you might as well just keep going the whole way.
Yeah, that was my whole goal, is like, not to complete it, but if I could get my, like, 5.5 miles, I'd be happy. But once you got to, like, the other half of the trail I'd never been on to, I was like, holy shit, and then that was all unknown to me. It just seemed, like, really massive.
Yeah,
and then once I cleared all that, and I got back to where they would stop you because all that whole section was closed off last year, I was like, okay, I know where I'm at now, and it wasn't too bad.
Did you see the moose and the pens?
Yeah, they had the moose there. I don't know. I was thinking like, do they take them out of there out of the winter? But I guess not.
Yeah, I know the few times I've gone biking there, I've seen their pen there, and they keep tons of mooses in there for some reason.
Yeah.
But it's a really nice trail. They got picnic areas. They got, like you said, for cycling, running.
Yeah, and they got fishing boats. Spots in the back. Yeah, that's why I saw a lot of people fishing. I didn't even know they had that back there.
Yeah, yeah. We've been wanting to take Junior, but I know for sure if we take Junior, we're not going to be able to do nearly a quarter of that run or the bike. So it'd be mostly just for leisure. But when me and Alana did it, man, it kicked our ass, man. It was quite a bit, man. It was quite a bit.
Yeah, it's like I said, this year I want to try to run more on the outside, more outdoor running, I guess, and see how that gets me. But the couple trails I did find weren't too bad, so I'm going to try to at least do a couple times a week, the outside, weather permitting.
Is Bussy the one you've mainly done? Because I've actually wanted to get into it this year, you know, hiking and all that. So is there any other trails or just that one?
That's the only one that I'm aware of. I'm pretty sure there's more, but that one for me, it's like, it's huge. I was shocked how big it was. And like, you see, they got maps all over the place and there's like trails, like hiking trails that go into the forest preserve. And,
yeah, half the trails going through the woods, yeah. They like carved a path, in the woods. So you're actually running in between trees and it's a really nice path, man. It's, especially if you go like early in spring or late in fall, you get that really, you know, the foliage or the fall of the leaves, yeah, man. It like looks really nice.
I would go over there in the summer and some of the sections of the trail were like, man, it was like a lot of mosquitoes, dude. I was just like, this sucks. But you just, you know, run through it. And then, I mean, but there's actual trails that go through the forest preserve because they have like a cement, you know, like an actual trail. And then they got stuff like an actual hiking trail to go into the forest preserve because there's a lot of bicyclists and people rollerblading and runners and joggers there, and it's pretty sweet. I didn't know about it till like last year, and it was actually not too bad.
Do you guys remember back in the day in Mannheim that we went on this field trip to like a forest preserve kind of thing? It's like prairie something. You guys remember?
Oh no, for prairie? West Leiden?
I don't know if it was West. I'm pretty sure it was Mannheim because I can't remember being that old already and going there. I think I was like around almost a teenager. Mm-mm. You guys don't remember that?
Or, no,
I don't know. What was about it?
Well, it was just another forest preserve that I kind of remember. That's the only other one that I've ever really been to that's big like that.
I know there's one off of, what is it, North Avenue? If you keep going west, there's I seen people going towards like Roselle and all that off a lake, I want to say. And there's something on the left when you're going west. I see people jogging there all the time.
There's tons of them. If you go to the DuPage County website, they have like 20 bike, you know, running paths. I know there's one on North and 83.
The Elmhurst one
The Elmhurst one. So even Cook County has a few, but man, some really nice ones. When me and Alana got really into biking, we downloaded their list, and there were some really nice ones. But that one in Bussy, the one that Andy's talking about, that was probably the nicest one I've ever seen. It's a really nice path, really done well. It's not like broken up, you know, gravel or anything like that. Yeah. It's paved, and it's really nice.
It's a walkway runway thing, so it's really nice, and that's why I kind of liked it. And yesterday was the first time I completed that whole thing, so I was like, oh, sweet.
That's badass, man. I definitely want to start getting into that. I might do hiking here, but I also want to explore, like, other places. I haven't really been to a lot of places in the world, so I'd like to start doing that eventually and hiking all different, you know, spots, maybe different countries.
Yeah, there's a lot of... I don't want to say I don't like hiking. I think I never really done it, but I don't know, man. I think that's harder than running and stuff.
Oh yeah. Yeah. I mean, you're dealing with inclines, different weather and all that stuff. You're not just running on a treadmill.
Yeah.
But, no, it's good stuff, man.
Yeah. No, Saul said that, I think it's Little Rock has a good hiking trail, that, park that's further down south in Illinois.
Oh yeah. 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 Yeah.
The one that has that famous waterfall that freezes over during the winter.
Mm-hmm.
But supposedly that's pretty cool that it's got a bunch of rocks and then the typical picture that you would see from hiking where they got, you know, like posts on the floor so you can kind of pull yourself up because, you know, it's such a steep incline kind of hiking. So supposedly it's supposed to be really nice. And I kind of flirted with the idea of going down there ourselves for like a vacation, but haven't done it yet. So I can't speak about it or not.
If you go hiking, would you go hiking with a cigarette in your mouth?
Back in the day, sure, but now with all
you would
these
take that challenge,
yeah, I mean I've done a lot of things smoking, not recently because I've quit, but I did used to find it challenging to do different things while you're smoking a cigarette, and I've done quite a few.
And would you wear the bandana?
Oh, for sure, man. You got to keep that sweat, man. You got to keep the sweat off.
Do you remember that hike you went to when we were in Mexico?
Oh, yeah, when we tried to climb that mountain. Oh, man, we were so dumb. We try to climb this mountain, and us badasses, we just take our shirts off, and we're just climbing this mountain. And then before you know it, you know, you're being exposed to the sun. It was a bright, sunny day, and you're climbing a mountain. You start coming back down, and we're all red like lobsters, and we're all burnt up, especially me, because I had taken my shirt off almost from the get-go.
Yeah.
So, man, my shoulders, my back, my front, everything was red. And then the very next day, I believe, was Efren's wedding. So I had to stand up at his wedding, dance, wear this uncomfortable suit in the heat while, you know, my whole body sunburned. So, yeah, that was a rough one.
I was shocked, but, hey, I was impressed, too. I was impressed you guys made it and got back.
Yeah. I mean, it wasn't no huge mountain, but it was one of the big ones that you saw kind of out in the distance. So we're like, hey, you know, it looks like it's close enough to walk. Let's go try to climb it. We did it. We got a couple of pictures.
So the burn was worth it, man.
Yeah, it was cool. It was
personal achievement.
Yeah, it was a cool moment. You know, it was definitely not no huge mountain, but it was more than a hill. So no, it was a good time, man. But Andy, you do some good for your body, but you also do some bad, man. Tell me about this Pizza Hut event that had.
That's why when I'm not. Yeah, I like being active and getting more active. Like I said, I try to do it more than a couple of times a week. But I also I enjoy food, man. And I have a ritual of every Thursday I eat pizza. So I wanted to change it up this week. I went and got, I usually just get it from the $5 place. But I'm like, man, I'm tired of that pizza. So I splurged. I had a coupon for Pizza Hut. And the only pizza I get from Pizza Hut is the stuffed crust one. So I got it. And holy shit, this was the greasiest freaking pizza I ever ate in my whole life. It was just unbelievable. I'm like, I got to talk about it because this shit was, it was just the greasiest, man. And I'm like, how the hell can this pizza be so freaking greasy, man? And
was it greasy from the parts where it's stuffed, or was it towards the middle?
The middle. It was just the whole bottom of the cardboard was wet, dude. Wet with grease. And I'm like, man, do they spray something on this and then they throw it in the oven, or after they get it out, do they spray it with more crap? Because I seen them spray, aerosol spray some, butter or olive oil or something.
Yeah, usually they spray the outer edge to crisp it up before they throw it into the oven.
So, like I said, I the only Pizza Hut pizza I like is the stuffed crust. I haven't had it in a long time.
Which Pizza Hut did you go? Because I heard the one by our house is closed now.
The one here shut down. So when I got off of work, I went to the one on Lake. So I ordered it, and I just went and picked it up. But shit, man, I was just I had two slices and I'm like, damn, man. I just right away I knew this is going to be a problem later tonight, man. Because it was just dude, it was a pepperoni pizza. And I'm just like, shit, man. Like the last time we bought that maybe a year or two ago, we got a sausage and a pepperoni. And it was the same thing. It was soft. The crust is never crispy, but it was still a little bit greasy, but not what I ate this past week, man. I was like, holy shit, man.
I wonder if it's the stuffed crust where the cheese kind of leaks out and it
all the fat from
the cheese.
Like I said, we get Pizza Hut. I get it a couple other months, but I haven't bought one in a while. But man, holy shit, man. Normally it's greasy, but this took the cake, man. I was like, damn. And then I remember that we didn't finish the pizza, and then the morning I saw the box, it was in the kitchen. I went and grabbed it and just picked up the slice, and the whole bottom of it was still covered in grease, dude. And I was just like, fuck, man, I'll save that for later. And then, but holy shit, man, that was the greasiest fucking pizza ever. I mean, I've eaten pizzas where like they're greasy and shit, but that was the worst. That was the worst ever.
Did it taste good?
I had to put a lot of hot sauce on that. Oh, let me just say, I paid the price for it like at 3 a.m, man.
Woke you up with your stomach growling a little bit.
I was just like, damn, ugh. And like, fuck you, grease. And then I handle business.
Does it give you heartburn when you have that
I don't
that
get
much?
Heartburn.
Man, you're fucking
You don't get lucky. Heartburn, period?
No.
For nothing?
Nope.
Holy shit, man.
Like a medical mystery over here.
Sometimes I get heartburn just for the hell of it. I don't even know what the hell's going on.
And all them people I know are like always popping in Tums and shit. I don't know none of that. Now, when I was like really big, I used to get acid reflux every once in a while.
Well, yeah, but that's considered
heartburn.
When I lost
all the weight, yeah. I never experienced that ever again.
Oh, shit, man. Maybe that's what I got to do. Maybe it's just lose a couple of pounds. Because, man, I get heartburn every now and then just for the hell of it. I'm just like, what the hell's going on? I didn't even eat anything greasy. And I don't know what the hell it's about.
To be honest with you, I don't even know what heartburn is. But when people describe it to me, I've never had that. The worst that I got is that acidy thing up like my throat and like.
That's what I would consider heartburn. That acid reflux, it's like a cousin of heartburn, or it's right there, you know. It's just severity.
Like, it was like a super pain. Burn. Yeah. Like I would burn and I would drink water and it wouldn't go away.
Yeah, to me, it's just a severity, you know.
It didn't even soothe it, not even at all?
Yeah, yes. Usually water doesn't do too much. But if you drink like milk, I heard that kind of soothes
like
it.
That was when I was like huge, and that was like, I don't know, like 10 years ago. Maybe 15 years ago, and I only had it like once or twice, but I ate like really crappy stuff back then.
Oh, man, I hear that, man. You got to try to eat good, but, man, sometimes a good pizza, man, especially like some Pequods or something, it's like shit, man.
A wise man said moderation, man.
Yeah, for sure, for sure.
Would you still go back there for another pizza?
Nah, not that Pizza Hut. I mean, I'll just go back to Little Caesars or... I usually buy frozen pizzas.
Oh, Little Caesar's even worse, man.
I just didn't have our Costco, this package, their pizza. They didn't have it when I went last week. I'm like, what the hell, man? So,
you don't do Nick and Bruno's or Grandstand or anything like that?
I got Nick and Bruno's. No. Grandstand, yeah, I like that one. I haven't done it in a while. It's just a little pricey. And then Cacharo's every once in a while when we have a coupon or something, I'll get it from there.
Yeah, when you want uncooked dough on your pizza, yeah, sure, get some from Cacharo's.
So, but like Pizza Hut, dude, like I said, every once in a while, I like crap like that. But this week, it was just, man, that was the fucking greasiest pizza ever. I was shocked. When I opened it up, I'm like, holy shit. I'm like, the whole box, like you could literally, the bottom of the box was just like, it was ready to, like, if we touched it, I think it would have ripped that easily. It was just, you could see, it was that greasy.
You could see through it, man.
Yeah, it was bad, man. I was like, this is going to be a problem, man.
Wow, man. That is pretty bad. But jumping on to Noel here, you made mention that you finally contemplated and figured out a solution to maybe some of your music dilemmas here. What are the plans? What's your idea that you're thinking about?
All right. So the other day I was speaking with my cousins and, you know, every once in a while we'll throw out ideas or talk about stuff that's going on in our lives, somewhat like we're doing right now. And they offered me an idea because we've discussed, you know, my personality. I'm not the most, extroverted person going out and, you know, charismatically expressing myself. But they said that...
Charismatic enigma.
Oh, shit.
Wrestling reference.
Well, what it comes down to is that these guys are telling me that if I feel nervous of, you know, going on stage or something like that, or being able to, you know, rap in front of people, stuff like that, then I should find a way to get around that. They offered a suggestion to use a mask, and not just like a random mask, something that would mean something to me, something either funny or something iconic. And it's funny that they mentioned a mask because... We actually have, we play this video game or whatever, and we have like a group that we, every once in a while, we'll get on this video game and our group will play for a while, you know, and we have like logos and stuff for our group, stuff like that. So we have this logo where it's like a mask, but it's like it uses a certain paraphernalia, I guess you could say,
uh-huh.
And it has a skull made out using this herbal ingredient. And so it's pretty cool. Like the mask, it's well designed. He spent time on it in Photoshop, all that. And I always thought it was a cool logo for a group, but then I'm thinking, what if I made that into an actual mask? Like, that would be a pretty badass mask. It would be catchy. And then, you know, if you're going to rap and stuff, you have to do, like, these hand gestures and shit. And I'm like, I don't want to do it with my face, like, right in front of people. That's not my style. Like, I could do it. I've learned enough about acting and stuff that I can do it, especially if it's for money. But I wouldn't feel, like, genuine doing it, right? So it's something that, with a mask, I think I would get over that embarrassment. Like, oh, shit, like, this is not me, you know, but fuck it.
Let me ask you a question. Like, what kind, like, a wrestling mask or just, like, something to cover your face? I'm imagining is like a wrestling mask.
You're not too far off, but it's not like.
Or you just wanted to cover, you know, your, well, yeah, that's what I'm saying. But you wanted just to cover like your whole face, like you put something over and you just see your eyes and your mouth.
It would be over my head. It would be. I wish I could just show you a picture. I'll have to send it to you guys. The mask that I'm gonna put, I'll put a link to it or something after we record this. But yeah, no, it's a cool picture. It would cover my whole face. You wouldn't even see my eyes, I don't think, unless I wore like some fucking ridiculous bright contact.
Like, I'm imagining, like, you blow up, you get famous, and then you get groupies, and they're like, you're like, are you gonna take the mask off or are you gonna leave it on when you're with the ladies?
That's a good question. I think when I get to that point, to be honest, I wouldn't want to wear it too much.
Well, let me use it then.
It wouldn't be like a second identity or anything. It would just be something that I can do. It'd be something like a trademark, you know, something cool that I'll do. I'll put it on when I go to perform or whatever. And that's if it's even good enough. The first part is getting good enough. This is just something to handle when I get there. When it's finally ready to show people and do the whole performance, then I'll put that on.
Oh, cool, man. So this is going to be something on occasion that you would put on. But as soon as maybe, like Andy mentioned, it's not going to be something where you're going to be a hidden identity.
I'm imagining
you're
gonna like be going 24/7 with that.
Going thing. To restaurants. You're going to be going to autograph signings. You know, again, this is all if you blow up or whatever. But the idea would not to be to wear this on a daily basis. It would just be for performance, for performing.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. And I've thought it out. I've thought all different kinds of scenarios. When I meditate and stuff, sometimes my mind isn't always clear. I'll actually have thoughts come in and it'll just be random shit, but it actually helps in the future. So one of the things that like kind of came up was a scenario that if I wear this as a second identity and somebody else gets a similar mask and they go on a fucking crime spree, all of a sudden I'm on the news like I'm a suspect because they have the same mask and all that. I'm like, I don't want this to be my identity and then people be able to use it to their advantage.
Okay, cool, man. No, well, sounds like a possible alternative. It's the first step, I guess. The rest is just your talent. Let's see if you're good enough to even make this thing pop.
I'm working on it, man. It's getting good, though. I'm happy.
Cool, man. Cool. So maybe we'll hear some of that in the future. Mm-hmm. But you also made mention that you're catching up on some reading, man. That you tend to surf the web and then you find something interesting, but you don't have time at the moment, so you kind of bookmark it and just get back to it later. But you've been cleaning house and getting caught up on some of this reading.
Yeah, I mean, I've been building this list for about a year now. It's, oh my goodness, it's going to take a while to get through it all. But when I do, I have a feeling like I'll be not only more informed, but just feel better overall. Like I got something off the list, like I checked it off. I feel like I accomplished a good amount because it's going to take a long time to read all that. I have I downloaded a torrent about a year ago and it came with 100 books. Like it's like one of those things like you must read before you die.
I've seen those.
So yeah, I got that. And it's a bunch of philosophy books mixed with like, you know, the Art of War, other stuff like that. Just things that like War and Peace, things that you should probably read in your lifetime, you know?
And so. What I recommend is throwing Hogan's both books in there, man.
So these are actual books, man. At first, the way you mentioned it, it was like internet articles, but you're talking about full-fledged books that you're reading then.
It's actually all-encompassed. So like I have articles that I go on, like let's say I'm on my newsfeed and Facebook. This is just one small example. I'll have like 3 articles that I'll scroll through. I'm like, oh shit, this is cool, but I don't have time to read it and like absorb the information right then and there. I'll bookmark it or I'll put it on, you know, to watch it later. And throughout time, you know, I'll read some of these articles, but It's just a lot of stuff, and I can't read it all and remember it. The point isn't just to fucking read it, you know, like I want to be able to remember everything I read. So when I bring it up to somebody, I'm not like, oh, maybe it was 2, maybe it was 10. You know, I want to know what I'm talking about. So I'm taking my time with this, but it's I got maybe about 400 articles on one website, or like one specific like section. Then I have another 400 articles on another section. It's going to be a lot of reading, bro. A lot.
Damn. Holy shit. I mean, I do kind of the same thing. I'll scroll through, or I'll be at work, you know, during lunch or something, and I don't really want to spend, you know, the time that maybe it would take to read everything. So I'll find something interesting, bookmark it, and then I'll get back to it later. So I do the same, but I don't think my list is that big. Maybe I got like 12 articles in there, if anything.
I don't. I got some stuff like that, but mostly I got a lot of books that I start, and lately I haven't been. I got a couple books. I just haven't been able to finish them. I don't know, because maybe I'm not finding them interesting or something. But yeah, I got like a bunch of books that I want to that I've bought, and I'm gonna just plow through them. But like, but I don't have nothing like you're talking about, like 800 like website or bookmark pages and stuff, because that's a lot.
And the thing is, too, like, sometimes it'll be of the same topic, so I'll have, like, 20 bookmarks of all the same thing, but it's not exactly the same person that wrote it. It's just similar information, but I want to get a secondary source and make sure this is valid, you know?
Oh, cool, man, cool. Well, you're going to have to enlighten us on some of this new stuff that you're reading, and we're always looking for good articles for the podcast, so I'm sure maybe some will come up from those that you're reading.
Well, I definitely have a few, man. Yeah, this whole Trump thing, too, it was one that I wanted to address, but maybe a little bit later.
No, so. Cool, man. No, so as for me, nothing really too exciting. I know we were kind of off last week, so we apologize for that, for no recording. But it was because I was at, or at least for me, I was at Saul's baby's baptism, Isaac. So we had a good time, went to the church, man, and went for some eat afterwards. So it was a good time, man. The food was really good. He had it at Tree Guys, which have some awesome pizza and some decent wings. So
was
yeah,
it greasy, man.
No, the pizza was actually, man. The pizza was super crispy. I don't know if it was in the pan that they serve it that it stays crispy, but almost every piece that I had, man, that crust had like a little crunch in it, and I was just like, wow, man, this is actually really good. So I really dug it. I thought it was very good. Something in the lines of like Nick and Bruno's, like that style pizza. So except the crust maybe wasn't as thick. It was maybe even a little thinner than Nick and Bruno's, but super crispy. It was really good, man.
I like that. Like the flatbread feel.
Yeah. It was like that, but no, real good, man. And it was a good time, man. The baptism went good, man. The baby didn't cry. Did the whole dipping in water and all that good stuff. So no, it was a good time, man. But other than that, man, not really much up for me. I just wanted to, I know we're not going to jump heavy into it, but I wanted to mention the Trump rally. I know it was big news here.
What's that about, man? I didn't hear anything about that.
Yeah, you didn't hear about it, man? It was huge in the news. Trump came to Chicago. And now I don't want to talk about politics or who we're going to vote for, or at least who I'm going to vote for. I don't even want to get into that stuff.
Bernie Sanders?
Mostly. The reason I'm bringing it up is just because of the rally and what happened. To me, in my eyes, I don't think it was just. I think it was actually a terrible event that happened. But most people are celebrating it, and that's where I kind of find it kind of scary. It's like these people, man, they have a problem with what maybe some person says or some person views, and they don't like it. So they believe that they have the right to like interfere with their freedom of speech and invoke what they want. And I don't think it's right, man. I don't think it's right to interrupt somebody else's free speech, to go there and push your values. You can gather a platform for yourself as well. That's my biggest thing. If you have different views from another person, that's fine. Have your own rally, do a rally afterwards, do a anti-Trump rally, or whoever the candidate may be, or whatever the topic may be. Create your own thing, go there, have your rally, get your 1,000 people to get there, talk about it, educate your people, educate the people out there, get the media to come, all that good stuff. But you don't interrupt and you don't come in and overtake a rally, regardless of who the candidate is, and go shove your views, kind of stating that, you know, my views are more important than your views. But at the same time, you want people to accept you. You want people to accept all your views and to accept it as that this is the correct way. And I just don't think that that's right.
Well, yeah, like the whole Trump thing, like, you know, people label him extremist and all this, which, okay, yeah, I mean, I agree with some of that. But the guy was having a rally and he canceled it because things were getting a little hectic. And I don't know. I mean, I saw videos and stuff, but I haven't read anything on it, on what caused what. I just know that they canceled it because shit started getting crazy in there, and it wasn't because of the Trump people. It was just the protesters came in there, and like you said, like I don't know what exactly. What that solved, if anything, it just made things worse, because they're not going to, like, Chicago already has a bad history of shit like this. Like, cops, like, just look at old man Daley with the Democratic National Convention when he fucking started hippie busting and sent cops out there to fuck up people. And, like, that just has never been lived down by the city of Chicago. And like this, I don't know, man. It's just, it's weird. And like, yeah, the police saying they had people out there, and I don't know. I don't even know how the hell they got into the building, like all the protesters and stuff. So,
yeah, I think these protesters were organized. They had this intention of interrupting. Yeah. It wasn't just something like where they just showed up and they're just like, yeah, let's see if we can interrupt it. No, there was a plan. They organized. They got there. They got into the rally, and they took it over. And it's like you said, man. I think it's sad, man. It's sad, and it leaves a bad mark to Chicago. And I know people, they're like, oh man, Chicago power, man. We don't deal with bullshit. We stand up for ourselves.
A lot of other shit going on. Yeah. There's a fucking guy coming in here and talking about the shit he's talking about.
That to me is what gets me. I saw a few memes that said something to the fact of, yeah, you guys organize and rally for something dumb like this because some guy is talking, whether he's a good candidate or not, whatever. But then when people are getting shot and killed, nobody rallies, nobody gets together. Or if they do, it's like 100 people. And where these were thousands of people gathering to interrupt this thing. So you're telling me that that's more important than all the other problems that Chicago is facing? I just found it kind of sad.
Yeah, again, we're endorsing Trump, but...
No, for sure, no. I'm not saying that I'm voting for him.
It's a sad day for free speech because... That's what we pride ourselves being in the platform that we're on with podcasting. Everybody's going to have a different view. If the guy has to talk, you know, he's going to pull his, you know, I'm going to build a fucking wall and I'm going to waterboard everybody and the babies. Like, yeah, it's fucked up. But I go, you don't go in there and like interrupt or try to cancel his thing, because with the protesting, yeah, you're sending a message, but... I mean, just because you don't agree with him, like you said, do something outside, protest outside. But like what I saw, everything was going outside and inside, right? Inside the UIC.
Yeah, they bum rushed the door and then they forced their way in, and security couldn't take care of it. I kept hearing how the police, there weren't enough, what do they call them, uniforms out there. There weren't enough.
Yeah, just the regular police.
There weren't enough people out there to kind of calm the crowd down, so it just grew out of control really quickly. So, yeah, man, I think you're exactly right, man. I'm not endorsing Trump. I'm not saying I'm going to vote for him. I'm saying any candidate, even if it was like Bernie or Hillary or whoever was there, I don't think you interrupt something like that, man. If you don't like it, fine. Have your protests outside, and as people are walking in, you know, call them assholes, tell them, hey, you're stupid, man. Why are you voting for this person? You're dumb. You know, let me show you this. Bring up a sign. You know, educate the people on why this candidate might not be right. But you don't infringe on their freedoms, man. That's the point I'm trying to come across. I'm not trying to say let's vote for Trump. Or if you do want to, that's on you. But I'm saying that the freedoms that were infringed on that day is a bad mark to Chicago, and I don't think we should be celebrating that one bit. I think it's very sad.
Yeah, it's just the whole the extreme views of him, which, you know.
Oh, it gets people riled up.
Yeah, it gets riled up. It's more, I think, rhetoric than him actually doing it. But, I mean, it's good to see people, like, you see people do take an action. But to
say
me, the action.
Passion. Say it, man.
The passion they have against Trump. But I go, for me personally, how they handled it, I wouldn't agree with that. Like, I don't think it's to that point where you need to start doing shit like that. There's other stuff you could do. But like when you saw people throwing swinging and all this other shit and cops getting fucked up, people getting fucked up, it took it to a whole nother level. And I don't, it's like, that wasn't a good day, especially for free speech.
Yeah. I kind of have mixed like views on this because, well, imagine this, you know, Hitler back in the day, he came to power and people didn't know he was going to do exactly what he was going to do. I mean, I guess they had a general idea that he didn't like certain people, but I don't think they thought it was going to be to that extent. But still, they let him speak when he was speaking, and he had extremist views, but he got his point across. He got people to join him, some out of fear, probably more out of fear than anything. But in the end, he got what he wanted through his words. So I see from one end why they would want to stop this guy from speaking, just to not let him get the opportunity to attain more followers and more power. But I can also see your point of view that we do have laws in this country that we have to uphold. And one of those is a very sacred one where we have freedom of speech. And imagine if we didn't have that anymore. Imagine if this incident did away with that, then all the other good things that we want to talk about would be outdone by the corrupt people that would block us and would be justly right so, because we fucked them over too.
No, for sure. I think it's just the free speech that more than what I'm speaking to. Because then obviously, like you mentioned, if there was like a mass shooting happening and they were gathering people out, then yeah, let's go overturn it. Let's go in masses. Let's go show our force. You know, we'll unite and overturn them, use force if necessary. Yeah, let's do all that shit. That's what's needed, you know, like a revolution or something, you know, some kind of civil war if things like that are happening. But if it's somebody talking to me, that is a huge freedom that all of these soldiers fight for me, and I don't want nobody to come in and just take it, because my freedom of speech is just as important as anybody else, regardless if that guy's an idiot or if he's the smartest guy in the world. Whatever he's got to say, I either choose to listen to it or I choose to ignore it, but he should have the right to say it.
One more thing, too, is that it kind of brings back memories, or not memories, but information that I had from different videos. Do you remember Roots?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So it kind of brings to light the protests that they had and how those were interrupted, and it wasn't anywhere near as safe as the way that this was interrupted, even though, you know, it wasn't a very pleasant experience the other day for Trump. It was even 1,000 times worse for the people that protested during the, you know, the civil rights movement.
Oh, no, for sure.
So
no, yeah.
A grudge. It could be retaliation, because, you know, you see a certain amount of people that it seems like they have hatred in their eyes. You know, it's
who are the Trump supporters?
No, well, them too, but more towards, you know, certain groups of people. You know what I mean? Like, I don't want to specifically name those groups of people, but it seems like they have hatred towards certain groups of people, and those certain groups of people have hatred towards them. So we're really. It's scary. It's scary, dude, because what if something does happen? What if he does get elected? I'm not exactly for him, Trump, that is. So what if he does get elected? What's going to happen to all those people that don't like him? Is there going to be another fucking civil war or some shit like that?
Well, real quick, when Obama got elected, there was a lot of questions about him, and one of them was if he was even born here, and people who called the... you know, people who were bringing up dumb things are called kooky and nuts, but he didn't do anything to disprove it immediately. He just let it stay its course, and then, like, these people are nuts, and then he finally released the birth certificate. And then, there's people saying, if Obama gets elected, this is fucked up, he's a socialist, and, like, all this other things, but whatever. You know, it's always been like, even when Bush was around, if Bush gets elected, I'm leaving this country and all this other crap. And they always stay here. It's just people pissed off because their guy didn't win.
Well, I mean, I think it comes down to every freaking candidate for like the past 10 elections have just sucked, dude. Well, there haven't been any good.
Since I've voted, this is probably the worst case of candidates I've ever seen in my lifetime. I'm 38, and this is just the worst. I don't like no one on both sides. Even like, I haven't seen no independents that I like.
I agree, man. And I think it's going to come down to voting for the least, your least hated one, the one that you hate the least. But still, even that doesn't fall into the category of you endorse this candidate. So I think it's ugly times in the future for us here in this country. But man, above anything else, man, we got to protect the Constitution, man. You got to protect all these freedoms that all these soldiers, man, they die for you on a daily basis, man. There's soldiers dying every day, but it's not in the news anymore because it's not a big thing, you know. It's not this huge war that's in the forefront of things, but there's people dying daily for your freedoms, and then you go and you throw them in the garbage like this. That's not right, man. You're, to me, it's a group of people, man, that their speech, they see it in their eyes as more important than anybody else. But at the same time,
right, and everybody else is wrong.
But at the same time, they want you to accept their speech. They want you to
be open-minded.
Yeah. Be open-minded to my stuff. But as soon as somebody's against my stuff, oh, no, we got a Trump on top of that. I say Trump, but, you got to go and you got to smash this thing because it's not what I view. And to me, I have no problem with any other agenda. If you know, whatever these other groups, if they want to talk, whatever they want to talk, acceptance, man, I'm all for that, man. Talk it all you want, man. If the masses want it, then bring it forward, man. To me, honestly, dude, I don't agree with gay marriage, but if that's what the masses want and that's what the government passes, then by all means, go out there, get married, do your thing, get your rights, do all that stuff.
Why don't you agree with gay marriage?
Well, that'd be a whole nother subject, but it's against my beliefs for me being a Christian. But whatever.
We're talking. Oh, you mean religious? I thought you meant like law. Like you don't agree that they should have lawful marriage.
Well, I don't think that they should be recognized as a married couple. If they want to be a holy union or a union or whatever, all right, cool. We'll go that route. But I think that's a whole nother subject. We can talk about that some other day. But me, my personal views, I'm not for that. But you know what? Their right to speak is held up by me. And if they want to go out there and have a rally and talk about, you know, gay marriage or whatever, by all means, man, go out there, talk it up. And if the masses vote, because, you know, this is a democracy, if they vote and they pass it, then by all means, I'm not going to go up there and start fighting it and be like, no, this isn't right. Because if the masses vote, then, hey, that's what it is, man. And I'll go by any rule that they vote for.
I mean, you don't agree with it, but you're going to respect the law.
Exactly. I'm going to respect it.
I'm going to go out there.
Because not everything's going to be the way I want it. Because if that was the case, then it would be dictatorship, man. It would be the way Daniel wants it. And it's not that way. We're a democracy. We all vote. But you have to have the right to speak, regardless if it's hate talk or if it's trying to educate somebody. You got to let these guys spew their shit, man. And that's just the way I feel. I mean, I don't want to get too crazy about it, but that's just the way I feel.
No, it's like we had this discussion before. It's just everybody says you got to be open-minded, but as soon as you go against them, like, oh, they label you as, oh, you're a fucking idiot, or you don't know, you're wrong. And especially, you know, but yeah, that's what it is. We could go into a whole freaking 2 hours about this, but yeah, I mean, if you don't like what he's saying, don't listen to him, man. You don't got to go in there and disrupt this shit. Start your own rally.
No, I get exactly what you're saying. Some people don't want, or some people don't like that the laws apply to everybody equally.
Exactly.
Even if those people, in their eyes, are monsters, you know? Because have you ever seen this show called Broadchurch?
No, I haven't heard of that. What is that?
So it's a BBC show from the, you know, Britain. And it has one of the guys from Doctor Who in it, David
Lovely
Tennant.
Lovely people, the British.
No, I like British shows, dude. I don't know why.
They're awesome.
Oh, I love them chicks with that accent. Oh, man. Sexy shit, man.
just real quick, the show is pretty much about a guy who commits a murder, but it's not so easy to convict him. And a lot of the people, this is a small community, so everybody knows this person, everybody knows who was killed, and they all want him dead, right? They all want him, like, just fucking suffering. But he has rights, and so he has a trial and everything, and it's one of those things that it brought to mind, like kind of this situation, too, where some people don't like certain people, and they want them to suffer, but they do have rights, and we have to uphold them, even if, you know, it's like 99% sure that they're a monster, that they're wrong. They still have that right just because, you know, they're a human being in this country. So,
nah, for sure, man. There's maybe a lot of parallels with that show, but let's jump into this article. Maybe something a little less heated here before we get kind of nuts. And hopefully we'll talk more about the candidates. Maybe when they get dwindled down to just a couple. Right now, I think there's too many candidates to maybe talk about.
Final two, but yeah, there's. We'll talk about like the one that we get the nominations.
Yeah, I think that'd be some good conversation once we're down to the final two. But this week's article that we're going to talk about is how this article points out how this new generation has maybe single-handedly killed the music industry. And I know you kind of bring this article, Andy, and you were making mention that these millennials, as they call them, or
millennials.
What is it? Millennials.
Our favorite generation.
Yeah. Yeah, these guys, man, they really go nuts and have really hampered the music industry and kind of decreased their profits that they're looking.
Well, like if you read the article, it talks about like consumption of music has changed so drastically from the way we came up that system is just basically, it says it's dead. The way how you made money off of music is dead with the record sales and all that. And
it's all concerts now, isn't it?
So right now it's the streaming sites, which a lot of them are free. They get money from the ad revenues, but it's not a big payday is from like $20 CDs or whatever cassettes from back in the day. And like millennials, I mean, it doesn't attack them, but it just, they did like, he brings out, he puts valid points to me, like how they're the biggest generation that consumes the most type of diverse music. And by that, with their social stuff, like the social networking, and like they brag about how they find all this stuff, but yet they don't pay anything. That's their biggest issue. What they're willing to pay for is they're willing to go see concerts and music festivals. They're willing to go buy their shirts. They're willing to go support them by buying their merchandise. They just won't buy their music. They will not pay for any type of music because it's free. They stream it all for free, and the record industry is like it's dead the way we grew up. So,
no more coconuts or
all that Tower Records.
Tower Records.
All that is just it's a freaking dinosaur, man.
Is that why 50 Cent broke?
Well, dude, I mean him and Kanye like. Like, look at Kanye with his,
Kanye's broke too.
Yeah, but I'm saying he released his album on what, that service, the Jay-Z service, his streaming, and he's keeping it on there for like,
Spotify?
Is it Spotify or another one? I don't know.
It's one of the music streaming sites.
But he's putting it on there for another, he's leaving it there exclusive for like another month before they give it to any other streaming sites. Because that's how they make their money is some of the advertising that they take a split with those services and like the concerts.
Yeah, this article points out something cool that I read. It said Pitbull, despite having 50 million Facebook fans, man, that's a lot. 50 million fans.
That ain't shit, man.
Yeah, not as many as Freeform here.
Yeah.
And nearly 170 million YouTube plays. He has sold less than 10 million albums in his entire career.
That ain't shit, dude.
But again, Pitbull, I don't think he's a great artist, but it shows that he's popular. I mean, he's got all these fans. He's got people watching it on YouTube because it's free.
He just came up in the wrong era, man.
Yeah.
10 million people. When we were growing up, 10 million, one guy, you know, sold one album and it was 10 million.
Yeah.
Like in the 90s. You remember that? 90s. I was like, every time.
Michael Jackson would kill those records, yeah, man.
Dude, he'd be dropping nothing. Those. The big secret with all that, with people who have big Twitter followers and Facebook, the social network, the big piece, like I have 50 million whatever Twitter followers or Facebook. The key thing is the big secret is you try to get like just 10% of those people to buy your products. You are super successful. But the reality of it is turning all those people into consumers of them to buy your merchandise. If you get 3%, you're doing a good job. But the reality is they're getting less than 0.5% or 1% from them people to buy that stuff.
No, sure. I know iTunes, I forgot what the article said, but something, they take a big chunk off the top,
iTunes takes 99-cent song, they take 60 cents, and the 30 cents goes back to the studio, and whatever the artist gets, whatever that cut is, it's like nickels, dude.
Oh, I thought it was the other way around. For some reason, 30...
60 goes back to Apple.
For some reason, 30% was in my head that Apple takes 30 off the top.
They take 60.
Yeah, no, I don't know for sure. I didn't look it up, but...
For what they do, I don't think they should be complaining. That industry has been overpaid for so long. It's finally starting to catch up. Well, why is it that football players or athletes in general, musicians and actors, why are they getting paid the most? Why are soldiers so underpaid? Nurses, teachers? I don't give a fuck about these people, dude. Like they, and it's funny because like I'm making music now, so I'm thinking about this and that aspect too, but I'm like, I don't want to get rich off of this. I'm doing it for fun.
That's the thing in the article again. They know how to find their type of music, and they're like super diverse, the millennials in music. Like, you know, before that, like you had to hear from word of mouth, like, oh dude, check out these guys or check out that guys. These people, they have apps, they're like, I like this type of music, and they'll give you like obscure people. They'll tell you how to find them on SoundCloud or wherever the hell they put music up. Yeah. And they'll listen to it. It's just they won't buy it. Like everybody, you don't want to make money on it, but you don't want to lose money. You want to break even on some of this stuff because it costs time and money to produce it. And the other thing is, the article states that the way to make music now is so easy, it's so quick, and it sounds professional. And
it's almost like podcasting, isn't
it? Yeah, like man, we just got these these microphones on a garage sale, and we just started recording. But, yeah, it's just so easy. There's software, and you can watch YouTube tutorials, and people think, like, well, I can make a song, and they do it. And I think I read somewhere in there, this guy made a song about 20 years ago. He just released it, and it went, like, number one all across the world. And he's like, I just had it in there for, like, 20 years. I made it on some music, the first, like, music editor application that I bought a while back or something.
Yeah, no, I think it's a lot easier. I mean, that kind of maybe goes to show you, I mean, even Noel, he's trying to dabble into the music thing, and I'm sure you don't got this massive record, you know, studio or anything like that.
Like we were talking about before, expectations, I don't have those with this. This is supposed to be something for fun. Kanye has this expectation, like, I have to have a mansion and all this shit, and if I can't give fucking Kimmy K 1,000 earrings a day, then I'm not successful. And that's, it's just, I'm tired of that shit, dude.
That's the thing. Like, to me, the looking at it is the music industry as a business person. Like, I'm not some businessman, but I don't see how the fuck you make money on that, dude. Because it is like the way how we grew up is long gone. And then today,
technology
killed it. And then the people who use it, every generation, they don't want to pay for it. Like, me and Danny grew up buying CDs. Every Wednesday you go to Best Buy, you buy a fucking $20 CD, you couldn't wait. Well, that's long gone, man. And today, when Napster and all these people, the torrent sites came up, it just, like, I haven't paid for a CD in I don't know how long.
Now, do you think, I know the article kind of mentions that, but do you think we're oversaturated with music? Yeah. There's so many people that are capable of making music that the market is like oversaturating, where before it used to take some big bucks to release an album, to have it pressed, to have copies made, to distribute to different places. It costs money. So not just whoever off the street can record music, you know, it's something professional. So maybe when you knew you were going to pay 10 bucks for a CD, you knew it was going to be somewhat half decent. And now they got so many jokers out there that, you know, who wants to spend 10 bucks on a CD and then get some garbage?
Well, the biggest problem I feel with entertainment industry in is the battle is on your mind to, we're oversaturated with so much information, so much things to listen to. They're always going to fight for you to hit that play button now. And they are struggling because you have so many options, and we're always getting fucking bombarded with commercials for anything you use. So they give you the option, well, if you don't want commercials, you could pay for it. So, and I guess a lot of people they're willing to pay the extra $10 or whatever to not get commercials, especially like on YouTube, because there's so much shit on there. They want you to click on people's music or cover song and all this other shit. And that's where the battle, I imagine that, mark my words, where we are going to be getting messages into like our head or some shit, commercials or some goofy shit, because they want your attention and they want you to click on their thing and they want you to buy shit.
Yeah, no, that's the only way they can make money at this point with these streaming services. I know I use them. I don't use Spotify as much, but I use like Pandora. I use Amazon Music. I use Google Play. So I use all these streaming sites as well, and I usually listen to the free one, and then, you know, just every now and then you get a commercial. You just got to deal with it. So I haven't bought a CD in quite a while, man. Or if I do buy a CD, it's something that I'm really passionate for, you know, Andy. It's something that, you know, I really love and I want to support the artist. But other than that, to me, I kind of just satisfy myself with just the streaming site. And it kind of gives me a mix of music anyways, you know. So, you know, you pick Bruno Mars or whatever, and then you get Bruno Mars songs, plus you get a few other that, you know, kind of are in the same genre, and then, you know, it's a good mix, and you just hear a commercial every now and then. It's kind of listening to the radio.
I think what it comes down to is that since technology has risen to this point where we don't need to purchase it anymore, then the people that make the music have to be smarter about how they market their stuff. So if they weren't making money on CDs, then try to go on the digital end and sell that. And if you're not selling enough on the digital end, then give them some kind of incentive. Give them some way so that they can meet up for you for like a chance for a lunch with them. Or
I'm a rock star. I don't do that shit, man.
You're way too cool for that shit.
Yeah, I'm a rock star.
Or what about this? Like, they send money to a charity, or a certain portion goes to a charity. So it's like some kind of incentive. Like, all right, well, my money isn't just going to this guy. It's probably going to blow it on fucking coke and hookers. It's going to go to a charity that's, like, it's meaning something.
Nah, sure.
Real quick, I was incorrect. Apple takes 30% and 60% goes back to the record company, and they probably give, like, 10% of that bag goes, or less than that, goes back to the artist.
Yeah, I know they get a small percentage, regardless of how much Apple really takes. I know the artist really doesn't get a lot to begin with. They get a small percentage, you know, advertising money, distribution, even though digital is a lot cheaper than pressing CDs. But still, you know, you got to pay for servers and bullshit to store all this crap and stream it everywhere.
And going real back to quick what Noel says, that's a whole nother issue of offering like incentives to people to meet their artist or anything. Like the last couple of years, real big on wrestling, if you purchase a ticket ahead of time, they offer you packages to meet some of the wrestlers.
Yeah, a little meet and greet.
Yeah, and that was like a big thing for a while, but I've been reading how a lot of wrestlers don't like that, because it's like, I'm a star. Like, they shouldn't be able to have this type of access to me. They should just pay and come and watch me in the ring. Like, this is kind of dilutes it, and
it like humanizes.
It's like humanize you. Like, you watch me on TV, dude. Come and see me in the ring. Like, I'll meet a couple of them, but and I've been reading more and more that other companies, like the smaller venue concerts, they do some of this shit, because that's the only way they could get people to come in now. Because they either watch it online for free, or they'll wait till it's on video or on one of their streaming sites. And that's like a big hurdle. And I've heard a lot of people, I'm fucking around, like, well, I'm a fucking rock star. Fuck them. I don't have to do this. But that's their mentality.
No, I know a lot of concerts do that. They have backstage packages where you can
like hang out with them and all this. Hang out
with them and stuff like that.
It's kind of arrogant to think that, or to know that they think they're better than us. To me, I don't think anybody's better or worse. It's just you're just human. That's it.
I'm not saying I don't think it's better, but the way when we were coming up, it was just like holy shit to see them. It was like a fucking big deal. But now you get to like shake their hand and walk up to them, and it's just like, oh, okay, I did that, and they're just normal like me and you. Like you're losing like a level of like you're losing like you know, when you see people on TV, it's like holy shit, like this person's on TV, they're fucking famous. Then you see them like that, and they're just there getting ready to wrestle or whatever. It's just like, to me, it's just fucking weird. Yeah. Like, I don't want that. Like, I'd rather see them on stage or on the ring or something to that effect. Because to me, it's just like, this is weird.
I think I know what you mean. They always say you should never meet your heroes.
Yeah.
I think I know what you mean.
That, and like, I don't want to see him or her, that person there. And then like, you meet them and they're just like, hey, yeah. And like, they're like fucking ignoring you. Like, well, now it turns into, hey, man, I'm a fucking customer, dude. Come over here, man. And then you're the asshole. And like, nah, dude, like, I don't want that confrontation. I don't want to lose that illusion of like, man, they're the fucking man, or they're the fucking shit. Because once you meet that, it's just like, oh, they're just normal.
Didn't you say, Andy, that you met Honky Tonk and the Shitter Man at one of the wrestling events? Was that you that told me that story?
That wasn't me. I met... I went to a comic book convention and Worf was there. Steve Dorn or something like that?
Oh, yeah.
All right. And this guy was a badass on Deep Space Nine. I knew he was on Next Generation, but I liked him from Deep Space Nine. And dude, I was so disappointed when I met that fucking guy because he did not want to be there. He just signed his autograph and he just hands it back to you and he looked away. And then, like, I was like, oh, I'm a big fan. He just looked at me like, he just nodded his head. That's it. No, thank you. Oh, you know, I didn't get none of that shit. And there was like, fuck this guy, man. And when I see reruns every once in a while, I watch him, like, that guy's a prick.
Yeah, somebody I know told me they met Honky Tonk and that,
that
he
wasn't
was,
me.
That he was like at the urinal when he went to go take a piss. It was like at a house show.
Nah.
And that
maybe that was that old man from the wrestling show.
Somebody told me a story. And then they told me that they were like, hey, give me the honky tonk dance, you know, that little Elvis.
Shake, rattle, roll.
Yeah, give me that thing. And the guy's like, hey, man, you know, I just finished washing my hands and fucking taking a piss, man. I got to get back to the show.
Like, real quick, I'll give you this one. I met Brutus the Barber Beefcake at one of these wrestling conventions or a comic convention. He was there. And I was like, holy shit, dude, he was cool as fuck and everything. And I'm like, damn, man, Hogan. And, you know, we're talking some wrestling. Like, he was very approachable. He was very cool. He was in his gimmick. He was selling, like, the beef
shears.
That's the shears and all this shit. And it was fucking cool. And then I, you know, I'm like, all right, man. He was $20. I gave it to him. Dude, you know what killed it for me? That motherfucker busted out the thickest pair of glasses I've ever seen in my life. He put them on. He looked like the world's oldest man. Them things were like Coke bottles, dude. They had to be at least like 2-3 inches thick. And he was counting the money. And I'm just like, dude, you like cut, like you fucked up so many people in the ring. And then to see you like this, like it kind of like, man, this is fucked up.
Yeah.
And like, but he was still kind of jacked. And he still looked like he was in great shape. But then he put them glasses on. Like, if you need glasses this thick, what the hell are you still doing in the ring, man?
Right. You can't even see in front of
I'm just almost. Like, yeah, dude, like, he needed those thick-ass glasses to count money, and I'm just like, man, this is messed up. Like, and it kind of, like, killed that illusion, like, man, he's just an old man now.
Well, have you ever seen any artists, like, outside their performance, like, on the street or...
Well, when we go to Comic-Con, that's about... Well, actually, not in the street, but remember Hulk Hogan, we met him when we got the autographs.
Yeah.
That was a good experience. It wasn't like it, you know...
No, yeah, most of those experiences are good, but I mean, like, in a like, social, like, I'm saying, like, it's not something that you pay to go see him.
Saul was at a Cubs game. He met Robbie Gould, or Gold.
Oh, yeah, that's right. I do remember him saying that.
There's a few times, with other people, too, I think.
Saul's, have you ever seen anybody in one? Or Andy?
I'm trying to think, like, outside of me not paying, where I'm a customer, and I seen people, like, walk by and shit like that, but I've never ran up to him, holy shit, man, like, to me, like, sometimes I feel like that's rude. Or when people say, like, if they're at a restaurant, don't fucking bother them.
Yeah.
Or when they're eating, because I've heard podcasts and other people talk about, like, how fucking rude, and they hate that. And, like, afterwards, if they're walking out, they're like, you could approach me after I'm walking out. But I haven't seen, I'm trying to remember if I met anybody like that or at the airport or anything. I've never met any stars like that.
Actually, now I'm thinking about it. When I went to see UFC at the United Center, afterwards, we're walking back, going to the front again. And we saw Sergio Pettis, Anthony Pettis' brother, little brother. And so I got a picture with him. They shook up. We all, you know, talked for a second. And he's a real nice guy, real cool guy. He's really, like, humble and happy that people recognize him and want to talk with him. So it's cool.
But, again, we want to – that's pretty cool. You could check us out on Facebook and Twitter. But I just fucked all that up. But here, let me start again. We want to thank you all for listening. And you can follow Freeform Network on Facebook and Twitter at Freeform Network. And don't forget to send your questions and suggestions to ffnquestions@gmail.com. Also, check out our friends at 1893 Coalition, Intellectual Nonsense, and Enthusiast Project. Check out our webpage at freeformnetwork.podbean.com. And don't forget, all our links are on there for Stitcher, iTunes, Podbean, Overcast, Spreaker, SoundCloud. We're all on there. And subscribe and hit that like button. Again, this is Freeform Radio. This is
Daniel,
Noel,
and this is Andy. We want to thank you all for listening, and we'll see you next week.
Dad.